The readings today tell us something on some level that we know to be true. That on the inside of us, there is this unbelievable tension. Now, I mentioned Buddhism at the beginning of the Mass because Buddhism explains this tension in this way. That essentially we have this desire, is kind of the English translation, although it's not exactly what they mean. But it simply works this way. We want what we don't have. That's easy enough to understand. We see things. We live in a very materialistic world. Heaven forbid that we have an iPhone that's not up to date. The 13 is apparently coming out soon. Or we don't have a home that is as smart as our neighbor's home. Or we would like this house, not the one we live in. Or we would like that job, not the one we currently have. Or we want this leadership position, not the one that we have. And it's true even in the church. We can desire what isn't what we perceive we want. And so the church would be perfect if it would only listen to me and my ideas. This is what the church needs to do. And we can say that with such certitude that you really don't need the Holy Spirit in that light. And then Buddhism goes on to say, but there are those things that we have that we don't want. And probably the biggest example of this would be some kind of terminal illness. We have it, we don't want it. And so forth. There are all these kinds of things. And in the second reading, James mentions that these tensions, these struggles, these conflicts are a part of who we are as human beings. There is something. We all understand it. There are, for every one of us, I suspect, things we don't have that we want. Things that we do have that we wish we didn't. We wish maybe that we were taller, or we were stronger, or we were more intelligent, or we could play this instrument better, or we could paint, or we could do whatever. We have all these things we wish we could do. We envy people that do, and therein is the problem. Rather than stepping back and looking at the talents of those around us and saying, isn't God great to have given such tremendous talents to the people? We get envious. Why did God give that person that talent and not me? Why do things go so well for that person, but they don't go so well for me? Why is it that when that person prays, they seem to get what they want from God, but when I pray, God says no? It's the envy inside of us that's fundamentally the problem. We do this all of the time. We compare ourselves to others. We look for the person that is the brightest, and we say, oh my gosh, I just don't measure up. Or we look at the person who is the wealthiest and say, oh, I just don't have that much money. We look at the person who has this skill or that skill that we would like and say, man, I just don't have those things. And what that causes in us is an inability to recognize the great gifts and talents that God has given to us. The great gifts that we have because God loves us. But there's more. The solution to this tension in Buddhism is to live in a particular way. And quite frankly, so is it in Christianity. We live in a particular way. But when someone tells us that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing, and we know that they're right, but we don't want to change, then the right example, the right words, the call to right conduct make us angry. Who do they think they are making this suggestion to me? Everybody cuts corners a little bit at work. Why can't I? Everyone, you know, takes a little something that doesn't belong to them, or doesn't declare all their income on their income tax, or doesn't whatever. You name it, we can identify with it. Everybody does these things. Who are you to tell me that I should love my neighbor? Who are you to tell me that I should be concerned with the poor? Who are you to tell me whatever it is? That tension is deep within us. But deeper within us is the person that God calls us to be. No one knows what is going to create fulfillment and happiness for us more than God. No one knows that better than God. And no one has the ability to make that happen more than God. But Jesus reminds us in the gospel that if we're going to get there, if that's the kind of thing we really want, we really desire, we really want this deep happiness and this tremendous fulfillment, then Jesus tells us this. We have to have a radical honesty about ourselves. Who we are, our strengths, our weaknesses. People that we often identify as great were people that had this radical honesty about themselves. They knew who they were and they knew who they were not. This radical honesty about self is what we would call humility. It's admitting to ourselves who we are and admitting to ourselves that we are not God, that we are not the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are people that stand in the need of forgiveness. We stand in the need of a Savior. We stand in the need of redemption. That's who we are. That's the radical honesty, the most fundamental radical honesty about ourselves. And if we accept this fundamental and radical honesty, then it becomes clear what it is we are supposed to do. We are supposed to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's really quite simple in some level, but I know in my own life, it's not as easy as it appears. That's why I need to avail myself of God's grace. I need to make sure that there's time for prayer and reflection in my life. I need sometimes to force myself to go out and help someone that maybe isn't so easy to help. To love someone who needs so desperately to know that God loves them, that they're sometimes obnoxious. Thank God there are people who didn't allow my obnoxiousness to keep them from demonstrating to me the need for God's love in my life. Loving God and loving neighbor, that's the solution to every tension we find in our lives. So let's ask God for the grace that we can do it.